advanced military hardware, of course. Military equipment is also needed, but it's not only through equipment and technology that people become stronger. So when I look around, there are three elements that I find, two of which are the same points which I just conveyed in my message. Economy and culture. Now, if these three elements are taken heed of, then a nation becomes strong. One of them is economy, the other being culture, and the third one being science, knowledge. Now, regarding knowledge, in the course of 10, 12 years, lots of things have been said, lots of comments have been made. And they were instrumental now. And when it comes to knowledge and science, we are moving forward. We're making headways. Maybe later on I will make a reference of that. But when it comes to economy and culture, and there is this more than conventional resolution that's needed for us to be able to turn the economy of the country in a way so that those from other side of the world could not, would not be able to simply make a decision or through a meeting to impact our economy and our people's sustenance. This is in our hands. We need to do something about it. So this is what we call resistance economy, the policies of which were declared last month, and with the ranking officials of the nation, I had meetings, and we discussed about it in details. And actually, authorities of the three branches of the government, who also were involved in the preparation of these policies, and they also were present in this preparation, they welcomed the idea and favored it, and so they would do it. So I want to tell our people about resistance economy, tell them a little about it, for our people to hear directly from me about this kind of economy. So there are three questions regarding resistance economy. So this kind of economy is an economy which is resistant, which is resilient. So there are moves, there are turbulations, fluctuations across the world, and through the U.S. policies here and there, this economy is not affected. So this economy is based on the people. There are three questions regarding, or three issues regarding the resistance economy, which is actually a resistant economy. So these are the three questions I want to raise here. The first question being, what is resistance economy and what is not resistance economy? So what are the characteristics, the positive and negative characteristics of resistance economy? That's the first question. Now the second question is, if resistance economy that we're chanting slogans of, is it feasible, is that possible, or is it only a pipe dream? So that's the second question. Now the third question is, if realization of resistance economy is possible, what is needed to be done for that to materialize? So this is what I will reply, the questions I would reply about economy, and then we'll deal with the issue of culture, which I think is really important, and I will make certain points about that too. So the first question was, what is resistance? What is the nature of resistance? What falls within that category? What doesn't fall in that category? So in the first place, there is this scientific knowledge-based paradigm, which is proportionate to requirements in our nation. This is the positive aspect. And then it does not confine to our country only. That means that there are numerous countries that given the social tribulations and upheavals, economic upheavals that we have been witnessing in the past 2-3 decades. So those countries have started thinking about it proportionate to their own requirements and facts on the ground. Now, secondly, so the first point is that the move that we are making, this is also a preoccupation on the part of other nations. It does not belong to us only. That's the first point. Now, the second point is that this economy generates from within. It regenerates from inside. So it means from within the capacities and potentialities inside of Iran. That's what it starts to, the way it starts to move and to grow. So this is just like a sapling, like a young tree, the growth of which depends on our own country's requirements and conditions. So at the same time, it's not introvert. So that means that the resistance economy, it does not mean that our economy, we just restrict it or limit it to the country's boundaries itself. So it starts growing from within, but it moves outward. So it has interactions with world economies. So it faces economies of other countries powerfully. So it grows from inside, but it's not introvert. So I'm making these points because in the same fields, there are pens and tongues and brains of ill-wishers that are working. That they will say that they want to limit the economy of the nation, they want to do this and that. There are a variety of analyses that they want to make in order to actually... This is a path of salvation. They want to distance people and officials from this path. So they make all these comments and analysis. So I want to elucidate this and clarify things for our people. So the third point is that it is based on the people. This resistance economy relies on, it's not on the axis of the government. It's not government based. It's people-based, so it's popular, it's the will of the people, it's the investment of the people and their presence. So when we say it's a government run, it does not mean that government is not responsible or accountable. That's not true. The government is responsible for planning, for paving the way, for building capacities, and for guiding and contributing to the process. So economic activities should belong to the people and should be run by the people, but the government, as the body in charge, oversees everything, guides the course, and makes contribution. When there are those people who want to make abuses or embark in economic on corruption, the government should stop them. So when the people, at a time when they need help, the government will extend them help. So paving the way and setting the stage is then the job and the task of the government. It's the facilitator. It has a facilitator role. So the fourth point is that this economy, this is a knowledge-based economy, or science-based economy. So that means there are scientific progress and advances that this economy relies on. So economy is placed on the axis of science, but it does not mean that it only relates to scientists and academicians, and it's only the scientists who can play a role in the resistance economy. That's not the case either. Experiences, skills, experience on the part of industrialists and those who possess industries, the skills and experiences of the laborers who are skilled and seasoned and experienced laborers. These can also be instrumental and influential and play a role in this economy. So when it's said that this is knowledge-based, it does not mean that experienced industrialists or farmers who have been for long years performed great tasks based on their experiences. It does not mean that they will not play a role, but they do play a big role. So the fifth point, it's justice-based. That means it does not only deal with the capitalist indices, it's also the GDP. It's not only these issues that the GDP grew, for example, this much, or the GNP. So we're not only talking about the growth of GDP or GNP that you see in the other capitalist systems, but when there is this gross domestic product of a nation, when it goes up very high, but there are some people who are dying of hunger in the same country. So this is not acceptable to us. So the index or yardstick of justice, economic justice, social justice in society is one major benchmark in this resistance economy. At the same time, it does not mean that scientific indices in the world are ignored. We will also pay attention to those, but on the basis of justice, we'll also perform other actions. So justice does not mean sharing up poverty, but it means generating wealth and riches. It's the national riches that needs to be boosted. So the sixth point is that this resistance economy is the best way to solve economic issues of the nation. We have no doubt about it. But again, it does not translate into the fact that this only deals with the problems, some of them being because of sanctions, some of them because of the wrong policies. That's forever. So resistance economy means that strengthening the foundations of economy, both at the time of sanctions or in periods when there is no sanction, so such an economy will always flourish and go to the help of the people. So this is the first question that was replied. Now the second question was, if this economic program that we call resistance economy, is this something imaginary? Is this hallucination? I mean, do you wish to do that? Or is it really feasible? So the response is, no, it is absolutely practical. It's because of the capacities and potentialities that we have. This country possesses extraordinary capacities. I just want to cite a number of those potentialities. We don't need some strange figures and statistical numbers. It's for everyone to access. One great potential is manpower. Now, manpower in our country is one of the greatest capacities and opportunities in our nation. We just have a young population that between 15 to 30 years of age. They constitute a big bulk and portion of the Iranian nation. This is a great capacity in itself. There are 10 million university graduates that we have, 10 million of our youths, in the course of years, have graduated from universities. So right now, as we speak, there are over 4 million university students that will graduate in the next few years. So, by this 4 million, our youth should know that this is 25 times as many as university students at the end of the dictatorial regime of Iran before the revolution. So the population has grown twice as much, but the number of university students have been 25 times as many compared to the era before the revolution. So this is the number of university students and graduates that we have now. In addition, we have millions of skilled and experienced manpower. So the same people who reached out to the armed forces and went to their help during the imposed war, one of our problems was because our machinery didn't work, some of our centers and planes were bombed, and then our forces lacked the equipment they